X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Life Science Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to keep you up to date.
Hello and welcome to the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. I'm Aisha Rashid, Senior Life Science Journalist at xtalks.com, and this week I'm delighted to introduce some very special guests on the show today. We have with us today Dr. Yang Liu, who is the founder, chairman, CEO, and chief scientific officer at OncoC4, and Abid Ansari, who is the chief financial officer at OncoC4. OncoC4 is a biopharmaceutical company focused on the discovery and development of novel biologics for cancer treatment. OncoC4 is a spin-out of OncoImmune, which was acquired by Merck in December 2020. OncoImmune was founded in 2000 based on the scientific discoveries of the company's founders, who moved their lead product, CD24-Fc, from a basic concept into clinical trials for multiple indications. Dr. Yang Liu is recognized internationally for his research on immune recognition of cancer and activation of lymphocytes. He has received several academic and research awards, including the Snyder Award for Cancer Research in 2015, and he was elected to the rank of fellow at the American Association for Advancement of Science, AAAS, in 2004 for his pioneering contribution to innate immunity, T-cell co-stimulation, and cancer immunology. Prior to serving full-time as OncoC4's CEO, Dr. Liu was a faculty member at multiple academic institutions, including New York University and The Ohio State University. Abid Ansari is a finance executive with a more than 20-year track record in the life sciences industry, encompassing corporate finance, fundraising, business development, and investor relations experiences for public and private life science companies. Previously, he served as CFO of Artios, a Cambridge, United Kingdom-based DNA damage response company, where he led the company's $153 million Series C fundraising. Earlier in his career, Abid held positions at GSK in a deal finance and portfolio management, among other roles and positions throughout his career. To learn more about OncoC4's immunotherapy drug development programs in oncology, let's turn to Dr. Liu and Abid. Dr. Liu and Abid, thank you very much to the both of you for being on the show today.
Aisha, thank you very much for the opportunity to meet your audience.
Thank you so much. So I'd like to begin by asking more about OncoC4 in terms of how and when it was founded and what the company's core missions and goals are.
Yep. So OncoC4 was founded at the end of 2020, and it was founded to further develop the pipeline from OncoImmune that was spun out from the Merck acquisition. So we called ourselves OncoC4 to reflect our key mission is to break cancer resistance to immunotherapy by targeting CTLA-4 and the CD24-Cleq pathway. So our mission is really develop best-in-class or first-in-class biologics to treat the cancer that are so far escaped effective immunotherapy.
Can you share your journey leading up to your role at OncoC4 and how your previous experiences have shaped your vision for the company?
Yeah. So I think the as you introduced, right, I've been trained as an immunologist and then have been working in a number of academic institutions, including Yale, NYU, Ohio State, Michigan, and all these major academic institutes. So from this period of the study, I think there are two things that really have big impact. One is that when we study basic science, we know a lot of nuance about scientific pathways that we saw that this can be developed for use in the human health. And the other is that what we learn from those is to go through all the data, we see the life through more complex lens so that we will learn how to question everything when we read. So that mentality really help us to be more vigorous in developing our drug candidate to move them to design the right trial for testing the hypothesis.
Could you tell us about the acquisition of OncoImmune, now OncoC4, of course, by Merck, and how that's impacted the company?
Yeah, so Merck acquisition really helped the OncoC4 in several areas. The first is to provide, because the team that are running OncoImmune all moved to OncoC4. So it provided validation of the team's ability to move from a basic concept to a phase three product. So the other is that Merck not only interested in our first product, which they will develop for commercialization, but they are also interested in the rest of the pipeline to show that they actually provided $50 million of strategic investment. That really very helpful, not only for the finance support, but also for the validation of a major pharmaceutical company for their confidence in our pipeline and in our team. Or finally, maybe we can also say that the pipeline, that even though OncoC4 is a relatively young company, founded in 2020, but the pipeline has been through more than 10 years of development. So in a sense that we have ready to go phase one product, that's our lead product today, which is moved to phase three, thanks to that 10 years of research in OncoImmune period. And also give the rest of the pipeline we have from the OncoImmune days.
And can you tell us about OncoC4's pipeline at the moment and about the company's lead drug candidate, ONC392, and where that is in terms of stage of development and what the plans are for it?
Right. So ONC392 targeting a molecule called CTLA4. So this molecule is actually the first validated immunotherapy target. And so the drug, first drug targeting this pathway got approved in 2011. And it took 10 years for another company to launch the second product. And both products, even though the pathway is very important, has not done as well as the anti-PD-1 products. The reason is that for the unique challenges about targeting CTLA-4, the current drug is more toxic than anti-PD-1, therefore you cannot use enough dose and long enough duration to achieve therapeutic activity. What we found from our basic research is how CTLA-4 works biologically, the unique insight to dose, and how the drug is toxic and how drug is effective. So it turns out that we could make one simple changes to the drug that will improve the activity of the drug in cancer models. It also improves its safety. So that's very unusual for oncology. Generally, when you increase the activity, you actually increase the toxicity. Here, we found one changes that can improve therapeutic, what they call the therapeutic index. That means that you can have a good dose that you can give high efficacy and low toxicity. Because of that, we were able to push the drug to a higher level to achieve therapeutic active level and to at the dose that is can be tolerated, well tolerated by cancer patient. So at the moment, the drug, we were able to push the drug in the 3-year period from phase one to pivotal study, which was launched at the end of the first half of last year.
And can you tell us any preliminary data that's come out or when preliminary data is expected from that trial, that study that's ongoing?
Yeah, so to maybe just step back a little bit, right? So the reason we choose to go to pivotal is because we reported last year in ASCO meeting about a fantastic phase two data that showed among a very difficult to treat population, that is the non-small cell lung cancer patient who already failed chemotherapy and already failed immunotherapy. They really don't have a lot of option. Among those population, we achieved Among the evaluable patients, nearly 30% of response rate. So that's a very, very strong response that allows us to initiate a phase three study. This phase three study will take several years. We are projecting 600 patients. The enrollment will be done by 2025. So that's the current timeline.
And so you're evaluating the lead product that you have, ONC-392, in non-small cell lung cancer. Do you have plans to evaluate it in other cancers as well?
Yes, we have ongoing trial. What we have of our initial phase 1-2 study is a multiple adaptive design. It's more like a basket trial. We try many different cancer patients, and based on the results, we'll decide whether monotherapy or combination therapy is the best approaches. At the moment, in addition to non-small cells, we have a study melanoma, head and neck, breast cancer, and other cancers as well, including GI cancer. More recently, we launched a phase two study on prostate cancer in combination with a radiotherapy product.
Could you tell us in terms of the space of oncology, I think you mentioned one of the challenges, I think you alluded towards toxicity being a big issue with a lot of therapies and especially immunotherapies. So if you try to increase efficacy, you have the trade-off with toxicity. So can you talk to us a bit about some of the other challenges in oncology today and how they're being addressed, and specifically how OncoC4 fits into the landscape and how your company sets itself apart in this space?
Yeah, so immunotherapy is one of the most transformative revolution in oncology. But even with that advancement, right, this majority of cancer patients still are resistant to immunotherapy. So there are many cases, either the patient have been responding, but then they become resistant, or the spaces where they're totally not responding, what we call the cold tumor. I'll give you an example of each. So in case of non-small cell lung cancer, generally it's immune responsive cancer. But even there, the majority of the patient, either they do not respond or they quickly become resistant. So those are the population we try to address. So we were able to show with monotherapy ONC-392, we get a very, very high response rate, as I mentioned to you. So that's one area. The other area, what we call cold cancer, for instance, immunotherapy has never worked. I'll give you two examples that we are working on. So one is ovarian cancer. No immunotherapy has worked so far. So we have a collaboration with Merck. We are carrying on a phase two study, try to see how combination with our drug, ONC-392, with Merck's flagship product, Keytruda, works in that indication. That's an ongoing trial. The other example that of a cold tumor is prostate. Again, this is one area that the treatment does not work. So our lead product is now being used in combination with radiotherapy. The trials I'm going to.
And what other immunotherapy products or products in general does OncoC4 have in its pipeline in addition to ONC-392?
Yeah, the major other aspect really targeting the CD24 Siglec-10 pathway. This is the pathway we discovered in our lab when we study innate control of innate immune responses, specifically in inflammation. It turns out this pathway is also very important for oncology, and they are in the adaptive immune responses and innate immune responses are very important. So we have developed a portfolio of products targeting this pathway for oncology and also some of the complication associated with immunotherapy. So in the Siglec side, we have both what we call agonist, that means a stimulator of the pathway. So we have a product called AI-071 This is a phase two ready product, which has completed phase one study in healthy volunteer. We're going to use that to treat the adverse event associated with the immunotherapy. So that's a major effort of the company. On the other side, what we call a antagonist or a blocker, that means to kind of cancel the function of that pathway. This is a Siglec 10 antibody that we're developing. We call them ONC-841. So this is a product that really kind of abrogates some of the immune evasion mechanism by Siglec 10. So we just filed IND a couple of weeks ago on this product. We're very hopeful to initiate phase one study in later this quarter. So, and then this other side is the ligand of Siglec, major ligand is CD24. CD24 is really important because it's overexpressed in 70% of all human cancer, including both hematological malignancies and also solid tumors of all type. Generally, the worse the prognosis, the higher level of CD24. In a sense, that's a very those cancers that are hard to respond to current treatment, CD24 is overexpressed. That's why we develop several products targeting CD24. All of those products are based on one key finding that address a key challenge for everybody else who try to target CD24. Because CD24 is not only expressed on cancer cells, but also on the normal tissue. So if you target CD24, you need to find a way to how to avoid normal tissue. We made a remarkable discovery that cancer CD24 is different from normal cell CD24. You can actually, we made one antibody that can bind to cancer cells, but not normal cells. So with that antibody, we were able to make a different several portfolio of products, including called CAR T. It's a T cell based CAR T or bispecific engager that bind to T cell and the tumor cells, so bring T cell to the tumor. And we also have a antibody drug conjugates that's called ADC for short. So all of these products we have are in the process of IND enabling study. We're going to push those into clinic in next 12 to 15 months. So we're extremely excited about this pathway because it's far-reaching and we have different product to deal with different tumor microenvironment.
That's fascinating. And of course, immunotherapies have generally found more success in liquid cancers, so blood cancers and like ALL, but the challenges still remain in solid tumors. So I think your company is definitely in the right space, and really exciting to learn about all that you're doing in the area. And so could you also discuss your partnership strategy as well?
Yeah, I'll ask Abidin to answer that just to give you a better perspective from a business perspective.
Great. Thanks, Yang. So from a partnering perspective, first of all, we do have a very strong collaboration with BioNTech. We executed this collaboration last year in March. This provided us with $200 million upfront, but more importantly, it's a co-development commercialization partnership that allows us to have operational control over ONC-392, with them paying for 50% of the costs in certain combinations, and then 100% of the costs in others, and then of course the royalties on the back end. If you look at our non-BioNTech portfolio that Yang just described, we've got AI-071, ONC-841, and then Yang also mentioned CD24. So just in terms of where we are currently, if you think about CAR-T starts to get very expensive as you get into manufacturing for clinical trials. It's a different level of expertise that's required when you're talking about autologous or allogeneic manufacturing. So that's a program that, at the appropriate time, we would look to a large pharmaceutical partner to do some sort of strategic partnership with us. In terms of the rest of the portfolio, right now we're committed to progressing those programs on our own. As you can imagine, there's this tension between partnering and how the company is being funded going forward. So right now we're going down the path of a crossover financing round with a potential initial public offering in the cards. But as you can imagine, the markets in the U.S. being a little bit flaky. So if things start to slow down or don't progress, then we could look to partner some of our other programs that much sooner. But I think the main thing is, we've got strong relationships with large pharma, so we can pivot in a certain direction or another very quickly.
Excellent. And can you also walk us through some upcoming milestones or key catalysts that you're expecting in 2024?
Sure, I'm happy to do that, Yang. So, with respect to the lead program, ONC-392, so it's really BioNTech that controls the communication of those programs externally. We'll likely finish enrollment of the lead program in PD-1 resistant non-small cell lung cancer towards the back end of 2025. So we'll work with them on how that program and how that data will be disclosed. With AI-071 in immune-related adverse events, we're going to start a phase two study in the first half. We're really excited about it. So there could be some proof of concept data towards the back end of this year. With ONC-841, we just filed the IND a couple of days ago, which we're really excited about. So we're going to start a phase one study in healthy volunteers this year and look to disclose proof of concept data likely in 2025. And then what I'm probably most excited about, just given I've done a bunch of CAR T in prior roles, is we're going to start an investigator-initiated study with our CAR T program, ONC-782. That's going to start here in the next couple of months in China. And so that gives us the chance to really get some initial interesting proof of concept data while also preparing all the IND and translational work in the US for a US IND filing towards the back end of this year, early part of 2025. So I think that's the really exciting thing about our company, especially for a small biotech. If you look over the course of the next 12 to 18 months, there's just a lot of really interesting data that we've got the potential to share with everybody.
Indeed, and congratulations on the recent IND filing. They're definitely a lot to look forward to. And once again, I'd like to thank you both, Dr. Liu and Abid, for your time and for sharing all of the wonderful work that is happening at OncoC4 that you're helping drive. And we look forward to learning and seeing things coming out from OncoC4 in the coming months and years.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank
Thank
you very
you.
much.
Thank you. All right. That's the end of this episode of the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. If you liked today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thank you, everyone, and see you all next week. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the X-Talks Life Science Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X-Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.